Srimad, this divine creation by Charanaravinda, Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa, Parivrajita Charja Astotirashita Sri Srimad, His Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Thakur Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Sri Ramananda Roy Tirubhavtiti Maha Mahotsava Ki Jai, Sri Ramananda Roy Tirubhavtiti Maha Mahotsava Ki Jai, Sri Ramananda Roy Tirubhavtiti Maha Mahotsava Ki Jai, Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Sri Sri Gornitai Ki Jai, Sri Sri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Ki Jai, Sri Sri Radha Vallabha Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories, all glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Sri Guru, Sri Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tatam Jayamudirayet Nastaprayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nandagopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 1. Chapter is entitled The Manus, Administrators of the Universe, text number 15. Please repeat after me. Ihate Bhagavan Isho.
Ihate Bhagavan Isho.
Nahi tatra visarjate.
Nahi tatra visarjate.
Atma labhena purnartho.
Atma labhena purnartho.
Navasiddhanti
yenutam.
Navasiddhanti yenutam. Ihate Bhagavan Isho.
Nahi tatra visajjate.
Atma labhena purnartho.
Navasiddhanti
yenutam.
Navasiddhanti yenutam.
Ihate Bhagavan Isho.
Nahi tatra visarjate.
Atma labhena purnartho.
Navasiddhanti
yenutam. Please chant.
iha te bhagavan isho
nahi tatra visarjate
atmalabhena purnato
nasiddhanti
yenutam
iha te bhagavan isho
nahi tatra visarjate
atmalabhena purnato
nasiddhanti
yenutam
iha te bhagavan isho
nahi tatra visarjate
Ahmalabhena
purnato
Nahasiddhanti
yenutam
Iha te bhagavan isho
Nahi tatra visarjate
Ahmalabhena
purnato
Nahasiddhanti
yenutam
Iha te bhagavan isho
nahi tatra visarjate
atmalabhena purnato
navasiddhanti yenutam
Vaishnavis
Iha te bhagavan isho
nahi tatra visarjate
atmalabhena
purnato
navasiddhanti
yenutam
iha te bhagavan isho
nahi tatra visarjate
atmalabhena purnato
navasiddhanti
yenutam
iha te bhagavan isho
nahi tatra visarjate
atmalabhena purnato
navasiddhanti yenutam
iha te bhagavan isho
nahi tatra visarjate
atmalabhena
purnato
navasiddhanti
yenutam
iha te engages in activities of creation, maintenance, and annihilation. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna, Ishaha, the Supreme Controller. Na, not, he, indeed, tatra, in such activities, visajate, he becomes entangled. Atmalabhena, because of his own gain, purna artaha, who is self-satisfied. Na, not. Avasiddhanti are disheartened. Ye, persons who anu follow tam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is full in opulence by His own gain, yet He acts as the creator, maintainer, and annihilator of this material world. In spite of acting in that way, He is never entangled. Hence, devotees who follow in His footsteps are also never entangled. Purport. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 3.9, Yagyartat karmano nyatra loko yam karma bandhanaha. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. Otherwise, work binds one to this material world. If we do not act in Krishna consciousness, we shall be entangled like silkworms in cocoons. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, appears in order to teach us how to work so that we will not be entangled in this material world. Our real problem is that we are entangled in materialistic activities, and because we are conditioned, our struggle continues through punishment in material existence in one body after another in different forms of life, as the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 15.7. Mamaivam sho jiva loke. Jiva bhuta sanatanaha. Mana shashtani indriyani. Prakriti stani karshati. The living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. The living entities are actually minute forms who are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is full in everything, and the small particles of the Lord are also originally qualified like Him. But because of their minute existence, they are infected by material attraction and thus entangled. We must therefore follow the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then, like Krishna, who is never entangled by His material activities of creation, maintenance, and annihilation, we'll have nothing for which to lament. Navasiddhanti yenutam. Krishna personally gives instructions in Bhagavad Gita, and anyone who follows these instructions is liberated. Following Krishna's instructions is possible when one is a devotee, for Krishna instructs that one should become a devotee. Manmana bhavamad bhakto madhyajimam namaskuru. Always think of me and become my devotee. Worship me and offer your homage unto me. Bhagavad Gita 18.65. Always thinking of Krishna means chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. But unless one is an initiated devotee, he cannot do this. As soon as one becomes a devotee, he engages in deity worship, madhyaji. A devotee's business is to offer obeisances to the Lord and the spiritual master constantly. This principle is the recognized way to come to the platform of bhakti. As soon as one comes to this platform, he gradually understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead And simply by understanding Krishna, one is liberated from material bondage. Ihate Bhagavan Isho, Nahi Tatra Visarjate, Atma Labena Purnarto, Navasadanti Yenutam. Om Jnana Tamrandasya, Jnananjana Shalakaya, Chakshur Unmilitam Jena, Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha, Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam, Stapitam Jena Bhutale, Svayam Rupa Kadamayam, Tadati Svapadantikam, Vandeham Shri Guru, Shri Yuta Padakamalam, Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam, Sahagana Raganatam Vitam, Tam Sajivam, Sadvaitam Savadutam, Parijana Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Padan, Sahagana Lalita, Shri Vishakan Vitamscha, He Krishna Karuna Sindhu, Dinabandhu Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostute, Tapta Kansana Gorangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Vishabhanu Sute Devi, Pranamami Hari Priye, Vancha Kalpa Tubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha, Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. So it is my great honor and pleasure to be here this morning in ISKCON Melbourne, Sri Sri Radha Vallabha Mandir. Haribol. Before I begin, I seek blessings of all Vaishnavas, Vaishnavis, all devotees present. Please give me your blessings that I can speak for my own purification and something of value from our Srila Prabhupada's teachings and the parampara. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 1. Chapters entitled The Manus, Administrators of the Universe. And today we're discussing from text number 15. So, this section of Srimad Bhagavatam explains how Krishna is the greatest. Ajam Vibhum. He's Ajam, he's unborn, and Vibhum means he's the greatest. So he has all kinds of vibhuti, he has all kinds of opulences. And in this discussion, we're hearing from Shukadev Goswami instructing Parikshit Maharaj, and all of us as well, that we should be understanding how great is Krishna. And in this way, it will help us in our journey to spiritual life. Because if we understand how great someone is, then we're more inclined to serve them. We want to serve a great person. And only by engaging in bhakti, service to Krishna, will we attain the desired result, which is to end the cycle of birth and death and go to the spiritual world. Chapter 18, text 55 of Bhagavad Gita explains, Bhaktya mam abhijananti, Bhaktya mam abhijananti, evam Bhaktya mam abhijananti, yavanyaschasmi tatvataha, yavanyaschasmi tatvataha, tatomam tatvato gyatva, tatomam tatvato gyat, vishate tadanantaram, vishate tadanantaram. Krishna says, only by bhakti can I be known in truth. And when one knows me in truth, one does not return to this spiritual world, but tad anantaram, one attains the everlasting, eternal spiritual abode. So this is our goal, this is our desire. And by understanding the greatness of Krishna, this will help us in our journey. As Krishna also says in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, text 9, Janma karma chame divyam,
Janma karma chame
divyam, evam yoveti tatvataha,
evam yoveti tatvataha,
chakva deham punar janma,
chakva deham punar
janma, naiti mam eti sojuna. Lord Krishna says, anyone who understands the transcendental nature of my birth and activities, janma, karma, chame, divyam. My janma, my birth, my karma, my activities are divyam, transcendental. Evam yoveti tatvataha. Tatva means truth. One who knows this in truth, tatvataha. Chaktva, chaktva means giving up, deha, this body, giving up this body. Chaktva deham. Punar janma naiti, again taking birth, not happening, right? We won't take birth again. Naiti mam eti sojuna, mam eti sojuna. Such a person will come to me, Krishna says. So it's very important that we understand Krishna's greatness. We understand that Krishna is transcendental, beyond the modes of material nature, that Krishna is aloof from the material existence. He comes to this world, he comes as an avatar. Yada yada hi jarmasya,
yada yada hi jarmasya,
glanir bharati bharata, abhyutanam dharmasya,
abhyutanam
tadatmanam srijam yaham,
tadatmanam srijam
paritranaya sadunam,
vinashaya
cha duskritam,
dharma
samstapanataya, sambhavami yuge yuge. So Krishna says, whenever there's a decline in religious principles, a corresponding rise in irreligion, at that time I descend myself. So Krishna is coming to this world, but when he comes to this world, he's not affected by this world. He's not affected by the material nature. He's aloof. Like a lotus flower on the water does not become wet. So, like in a similar way, Krishna comes to this world, but he doesn't get affected by this world. And he's setting an example for us that we should follow our dharma, we should follow our principles, we should follow varnashram, but at the same time, we should not be affected and contaminated by the material energy. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text number 13, Chatur Varnya Maya Shristam,
Chatur Varnya Maya,
Guna Karma Vibhagashaha, Tasyaham Kartram Apimam, Vidya Kartram Avyayam. Lord Krishna says, I created these four varnas and four ashrams. So the four varnas are the Brahmana, the Kshatriya, the Vaishya and Shudra. And the four ashrams, Brahmacharya, Grahastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyas. So then Krishna says, I have created this system, but I am not a part of the system. I don't need to participate. I'm not affected by the material energy. So Krishna is aloof. Krishna is not affected by the modes of material nature. And we also can become free from the grips of the modes of material nature if we, as Prabhupada says in the purport, follow in Lord Krishna's footsteps. And how can we do that? By constantly being engaged in devotional service. Chapter 14 of Bhagavad Gita, text number 26, explains, Mam chayo vyabicharena, mam chayo vyabicharena, bhakti yogena sevate, bhakti yogena sagunan samatityaitan, sagunan brahma bhuyaya kalpate, mam chayo vyabicharena, mam chayo vyabicharena, bhakti yogena sevate. These first two lines explain that Krishna is asking us to engage in avyabhicharena bhakti yoga. Vyabhicharena means with breaks, with separations, with stops. But avyabhicharena means unceasingly, unflinchingly, constantly engaged without any stop. Mam chayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate. So bhakti yogena sevate means seva, engaging in Krishna's service. Bhakti yogena sevate. If we do this, then sagunan samatityaitan. Sagunan. These gunas, samatityaitan. Samatityaitan means to go over. We can go over the modes. We can avoid these modes. So this is what we're looking for. We want to go this sagunan samatityaitan. We want to go beyond the modes of material nature. And then brahma bhuyaya kalpate. We can attain this platform of Brahman that we're looking for. So one more time. Mam chayo vyabhicharena. Mam chayo vyabhicharena. Bhakti yogena sevate, sagunan samatityaitan, brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Now one may ask the question that the Lord is creating, He's maintaining, He's annihilating the material energy. How can he be aloof? He's part of the action. He's part of the deal. He's part of the process. But actually, Krishna is doing all of this creation, maintenance, annihilation through his energies, suyate, through his different shaktis. And in this way, Srila Prabhupada gives the example of a factory owner. The owner of the factory takes a vacation and goes to the Caribbean and stays on a fancy boat, a fancy yacht, and just relaxes on his boat, soaking in the vitamin D, getting the sunshine. And at the same time, everything in his factory continues to go on. All the work continues. So in the same way, that work, to continue the example, the work in the factory is done by the energies of the factory owner. But the factory owner is aloof. In the same way, all this creation, maintenance, annihilation, it's going on by Krishna's energies, by his different shaktis, by different demigods. They're all like department heads. Krishna is like the CEO and all the different demigods are his department heads. What are some of the demigods? Who's in charge of the water and the rain? Indra. And who's in charge of the ocean water? Varuna. Who's in charge of the fire? Agni. And like this, who's in charge of the wind? Vayu. So like this, we see there are so many different in charges. These are all the shaktis, these are the energies of Krishna. So Krishna is accomplishing all this, but he's not attached. He doesn't get contaminated. He's not party to any of these material activities. Maya jakshena prakritihi,
Maya jachena prak. Suyate sacharacharam. Suyate. Hetunane no konteya. Hetunane. Jagad vipar vivartate. So Krishna says in the 9th chapter, text number 10 of Bhagavad Gita, Maya Jakshena Prakriti, I am the Ajaksh, I am the overseer, I am the in charge of all of these material activities. Suyate sa characharam, things are coming, things are going, characharam, things are moving. Hetu means cause. I am the cause of all of these things. Hetu nanena konteya, jagad vipar vivartate, how this jagat, how this universe is moving. Krishna is the cause, but he's just supervising the energies. His energies, like the demigods, are actually carrying out all these things. So in this way, Krishna is great. He's running the whole show, but he's not getting his hands dirty. Okay? So he's very expert. Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki jai. So in the purport today, Srila Prabhupada makes some very interesting practical statements for us on how we can advance in devotional service and become more Krishna conscious. And when I read these statements, I was actually surprised. It gave me some realizations and deeper understanding of the process of bhakti that I had before. And I'm looking forward to sharing these with you now. Would you like to hear it? Say Hari Bol. Okay, the last paragraph, thank you. Prabhupada writes, following Krishna's instructions is possible when one is a devotee. For Krishna instructs that one should become a devotee. Manmana bhava mad bhakto, manmana madhyaji mam namaskaru, mami vashasi satyam te, pratijane priyosi me. So Krishna in 1865 is asking us to do four things. Manmana. Manmana means always think of me, Krishna said. Mad bhakto means one should become Krishna's devotee. Manmana bhavan mad bhakto. Maj yadji means one should worship Krishna. And mam namaskuru means one should offer one's obeisances and pranams to Krishna. So these are the four things that Krishna is asking us to do. And it's very interesting because, you know, I've chanted this verse hundreds if not thousands of times, but here Prabhupada is giving a deep perspective. He says, always thinking of Krishna means chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So that's beautiful. Kirtaniyasa Sada Hari, always chant the holy name, always chant Hare Krishna. Then Prabhupada concludes that statement that always thinking of Krishna means chanting the Hare Krishna mantra with a comma. It means there's more. There's more to it than that. Would you like to hear what else is there? Srila Prabhupada says, but, okay, this is a conjunction, but unless one is an initiated devotee, he cannot do this. So Srila Prabhupada is stressing here the importance of initiation. So unless one is an initiated devotee, he cannot do this. Then the question comes, why? What is it that's so special about being initiated that will allow one to do this? And now Srila Prabhupada continues. Srila Prabhupada says, as soon as one becomes a devotee, and here I believe Prabhupada is meaning an initiated devotee, he engages in deity worship, maj yadji. So when Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto Mad Yajji, Yajji means deity worship. Deity worship is important. He engages in deity worship, Maj Jaji. I'll read that sentence again. As soon as one becomes a devotee, he engages in deity worship, Maj Jaji. So in these two sentences, Srila Prabhupada is saying, number one, to chant Hare Krishna all the time, one needs to be initiated. And secondly, he says, that devotee, he must engage in Majjaji, in deity worship. So actually, unless we're initiated, we can't go on the altar and do puja, right? We can't do that. So therefore, initiation is important. That's my perspective. That's what I'm getting out of this. Others may like to share their own realizations and thoughts on this matter. But an initiated devotee, everyone on the altar must be initiated. And then Srila Prabhupada is stressing the importance of Maj Yaji to do this deity worship. Of course, everyone who comes to the temple and puts their hands in the air and dances and chants in front of the deity, chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That is also deity worship. We worship the deities with kirtan. So some form of deity worship is important. But Prabhupada is stressing initiation, which seems to indicate actually doing the puja on the altar like that, where an initiation is required. So soon we'll open this for a discussion. Maybe devotees would like to share their thoughts. Okay, continuing. Majjaji. A devotee's business is to offer obeisances to the Lord and the spiritual master constantly. This is another kind of mind-blowing statement here. That what are we supposed to do constantly? Constantly offer obeisances to the Lord and constantly offer obeisances to the spiritual master. So I was very much enlivened when I was reading this, and I was remembering that when we're in the morning program, when we come in the temple, first thing we do is we offer obeisances. We offer our obeisances to Prabhupada, to the devotees, to the deities. And then all during morning program, after Mangalartik, we offer our pranams, we offer our obeisances. We chant our pranam mantras to our gurus, our shiksha guru, pranam, our primary shiksha guru, Srila Prabhupada. We offer obeisances to our diksha gurus. And again and again and again throughout the morning program, we're offering obeisances again and again. So this should be our program like throughout the entire day, throughout our entire life. We should be constantly offering obeisances to the spiritual master and the Lord. So this is also gives a lot of benefit to coming to the temple. Because when I'm in my ashram, or if I'm walking in the street, or I'm on the beach, or I'm in the park, it's unlikely that I'm going to be at least physically offering my obeisances, you know, especially in public and this kind of thing. But in the temple, I can offer my obeisances to my heart's content. Although due to my conditioning, I don't want to do it, but still. One time Brahmananda asked Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, I see all the devotees are offering obeisances to you, but I don't feel like doing it. What should I do? And Srila Prabhupada said, you should do it anyway. Then by doing it often enough, eventually you'll get a desire, that spontaneous feeling will come. But at least externally you should do it. So temple, being in the temple gives us a nice opportunity to offer obeisances many times. And eventually the spontaneous desire can arise. So now Prabhupada concludes today's purport by saying, this principle is the recognized way to come to the platform of bhakti. Oh, one more thing. Raghunath Das Goswami and other Goswamis, they would bow down in a scheduled measurement. They would offer like 1,000 obeisances a day. That was part of their sadhana. And even we see devotees, they do Govardhan Parikrama, they do Dandavat Parikrama, they offer obeisances all day long. Around. I tried that around Radhakund. My arms got tired. It's not easy. But so this is what we should aspire for, is constantly chanting Hare Krishna, constantly worshiping the deities, constantly offering our obeisances to the spiritual master and the Lord. This is what Srila Prabhupada is asking from us in this purport of the eighth canto. Eighth canto is pretty much up there. You know, we've already gone through canto 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Many. So this eighth canto instructions, Prabhupada is instructing his disciples have already become a bit advanced from reading the first seven cantos. So this is like a very advanced instruction. This is a high platform. Always thinking of Krishna means chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. But unless one is an initiated devotee, he cannot do this. As soon as one becomes a devotee, he engages in deity worship, majyaji. A devotee's business is to offer obeisances to the Lord and the spiritual master constantly. This principle is a recognized way to come to the platform of bhakti. Okay, last sentence. As soon as one comes to this platform, he gradually understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And simply by understanding Krishna, one is liberated from material bondage. So here in this section, Shukadev Goswami is instructing Maharaj Parikshit about how God is, the greatness of God, and how God is great. And in today's verse, we're hearing that He's acting as the creator, the maintainer, and annihilator, but in spite of this, he's never entangled. So, looking forward to imbibing these principles and practices in our life of sadhana bhakti and coming closer and closer to Krishna, the prime living entity. Thank you very much. Are there any comments or questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Maharaj, thank you for the beautiful class, Maharaj. In other faith also, people say that God is great. And here, Prabhupada is also saying God is great. So is there any difference in the understanding that they have and what we have?
So thank you for your question. Let me see if I understand your question properly. You're saying that in our practice of Krishna consciousness, in our culture, our society, and our samsta, and our parampara, we have a conception of how God is great. And other spiritual traditions, they also have a concept that God is great. You know, Allah. Allah means the greatest, right? So Islam, Christianity, so many cultures, they have a concept that God is great. So your question is, what is the difference, if any, between our understanding and the understanding of other spiritual traditions? Is that correct?
Yes.
Good. So the example is that of, so first of all, yes, there is a difference in conception. The principle is the same, but the details are different. Details meaning that we have more details in our spiritual tradition. Because literatures like Srimad Bhagavatam are so vast, Chaitanya Charitamrita are so vast, Ramayana is so vast, Mahabharata is so vast. We have such a tremendous library of spiritual knowledge. It's the word vast, like the ocean. It's a tremendous body of knowledge. Especially compared with these other spiritual traditions. They don't have the body of knowledge that we have in the Vedas. And the example is given of a college dictionary versus a pocket dictionary. So the college dictionary and the pocket dictionary, they contain mostly many of the same words. But the amount of detail and explanation found in the college dictionary is much greater and more detailed knowledge than the concepts found in the pocket dictionary. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay, thank you. So, yes, Prabhu, please pass the microphone.
Maharaj, Krishna is great. We see that the Lord is providing everything for us. You know, the air that we breathe, the water that we taste, our whole life is by His mercy. And yet, I understand that Krishna is so merciful, and yet we abuse that situation by saying that there's only one God, I'm God, or that God is not there, or we just abuse the grains that He gives us by selling them or throwing them, wasting them, throwing them and dumping them in the sea, or abuse the air that He gives us by polluting it, and yet He remains. He tolerates it? Does He tolerate it? Does He? How does His Lord work like that? I mean, how does He work?
How does Krishna? You're asking how does Krishna tolerate our inebrities, our misbehavior, our misutilization of the resources that He's provided for us?
Yeah.
So yeah, Krishna is very tolerant. He gives us free will. And there's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita that explains that He's equal to everyone, but a person who worships Him in devotion, He becomes a friend to them, and they become a friend to Him. He's equal. Shamo, this is the verse. Shamoham sarva bhuteshu. Shamoham sarva. Na me dveshosti na priyaha. Na me dveshosti na priyaha. Ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya. Ye bhajanti tu maitesham chapyaham. Thank you. So, shamoham sarva bhuteshu. Shama means equal. Sama. Shama aham. I am equal. Sarva, all bhuteshu, living entities. Krishna says, I am equal to all living entities. Na, I'm not dvesho, I'm not envious of anyone. Na, not priyaha, I'm not partial to anyone. Ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya, but one who does this bhajan, one who does bhakti, one who's engaged in devotional service, maite teshu chapyaham, he becomes a friend to me, and I become a friend to him. So Krishna is equal to everyone, but those who are in the path of devotional service, who are rendering devotional service, he has a special relationship with him. That means Krishna doesn't treat everyone equally, actually. And Prabhupada mentions in the purport that it's natural that we love all children, but if we have our own child, we may be partial to that child. Or we may have 10 children, but if 9 are independent and 1 is fully dependent on us, we'll be partial towards that 1 dependent child. So in this way, there's so many living entities in the universe, and many of them are exploiting the resources of material nature. And Krishna is equal to them. And being equal to them means that He's letting His energies deal with them. Specifically Maya. Maya Jakshe, what is it? 7:14? Devi esha gunamayi. Devi esha gunamayi. Mama Maya Durateya. Mameva ye prapadyante. Mayame tantarantite. That this material energy of mine is duratya. It's very, very difficult to overcome. Mama Maya, it's my energy. So Krishna is dealing with these exploitative living entities who are misusing the resources of the world. He's dealing with them with His energies. He's dealing with them specifically with His energy of Maya. And in this way, Maya is giving so many kicks and causing adiyatmik klesh, adidaivik klesh, adibhautik klesh, miseries from the body and the mind, miseries from other living entities, miseries from the demigods. And in this way, those that are exploiting the world, they're suffering and getting so many kicks. And in this way, this is how Krishna is dealing with them. But devotees, Krishna is personally taking an interest in the lives of devotees. He says, "Mai te teshu chapyaham." One who worships me in devotion, I become a special friend to him, and he becomes a special friend to me. So that's how the Lord is dealing with all the living entities. Those that are ignoring him, he's saying, "Okay, let my energies deal with them." Those that are attempting to come closer to him and serve him in bhakti, Krishna says, "All right, I'm taking a special interest." So that is part of the dynamics that we see in how Krishna is engaged with different living entities in the universe, depending on are they just exploiting or are they endeavoring to engage in devotional service. Does that answer your question?
We are also Bhagavan.
We are also Bhagavan.
Little Bhagavans.
Chota, small. Okay. Yeah.
Is this an example in which we can follow in our activities of dealing with people?
That's an interesting question. If I understand your question properly, you're suggesting, you're asking that it's because Lord Krishna, he just lets his energies deal with non-devotees and doesn't personally deal with them. So what about us? Can we also be impersonal with non-devotees, just let our energies deal with them? Every letter that comes to us, just answer with ChatGPT and don't get involved. And just not interact with the living entities who are not devotees. Is that your question?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, good. So we're not Krishna and we have different relationships with the living entities than Krishna does. And as devotees of Krishna, we have an interest in serving Krishna, and part of that service is to distribute Krishna's message to others, even those who are non-devotees. So the devotee is para dukkha dukkhi. He sees others' miseries as his own miseries. And thus the devotee develops compassion. The devotee is very compassionate. Tatikshasva karunika, tatikshasva suridam sarvadehinam, suridam ajata shatravashanta, ajata shatravashan, sadhava sarubhushanaha, sadhu sadhu. These are different qualities of the sadhu, which is what we're aspiring for. We may not have these qualities now, but this is our goal, to develop these qualities. Tatikshasva, we should be very tolerant. And even someone is not expressing in a devotional mood, we should still be tolerant. Karunika. Karunika is a very important word because it means merciful. It means compassionate. And that compassion is what Krishna wants. We want to be representatives of Krishna's compassion, of Sri Sri Radha Vallabha, their compassionate nature to reach out to others, to encourage the living entities of this world to come and join them in the spiritual world and be free of all of the sufferings of material existence. Tatikshasva karunika surida. Surid means friend. That the devotee, the sadhu, the saintly person is friends to all living entities. And what does it mean to be a friend? To help others and give something very helpful and good for them. What's good for them? The process of bhakti. That's the real friend who helps us come closer to Krishna. Suridam sarvabhutanam. The friend of all living entities, that's a quality of Krishna. And that's also a quality of the devotees, to act on Krishna's behalf and be friendly to everyone. Ajata shatrava shanta. He has no enemy. He doesn't consider anyone his enemy. Even if someone is such a performing even what we would consider to be despicable or very distasteful or terrible activities, but still we don't consider them our enemy because we see Krishna is in their heart. Sarvasya chamriti sanyavasto. So we want to help them. Ajatra Shatava Shanta, he's peaceful. So even sometimes we try to preach or help others and we get so much resistance and difficulties, so that should be tolerated, and we should be peaceful. Shanta. Sadhava Sadhubhushanha. To be saintly, these are the qualities of the sadhu, of the devotee. So these are the qualities that we need to, or we should aspire for, to develop. And so in this way, no, we should not just be aloof from the other living entities. We should seek to serve them and help them as in a friendly way to come closer and closer to Krishna. Does that answer your question?
Perfectly.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Last question? Okay, we'll take two. Go ahead. You first.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the nice class. Maharaj, in the purport, Prabhupada mentioned that unless we don't have initiation, we can't like do much of the services like deity worship. But for us kids, we see it may take us 10 to 15 years to get initiation from a spiritual master. So what is the hope for us?
So thank you for your question. If I understand your question properly, you're asking that if we're not initiated and maybe it will take us 15 more years to get initiated, then what is the hope? Yeah? So there was one devotee of Lord Chaitanya, I believe his name was Mukunda, if I remember correctly. If not, someone can correct me, someone who knows the story. So Mukunda, he used to associate with devotees, and he used to associate with impersonalists also. And when he was with devotees, he would discuss Krishna Katha. And when he was with non-devotees, he would discuss impersonalist philosophy and monism. And he would just engage in what devotees would consider improper philosophical discussions. So he was kind of unchaste, right? He was very much going, when he was with devotees, he discussed devotion. When he was impersonalists, he discussed impersonalism. So Lord Chaitanya was not happy. And Lord Chaitanya was in the Mahaprakash Leela, in which he was sitting on the throne of Vishnu in Shivas Thakur's house, and all the devotees were worshiping him. And it was one of those very rare occasions where Lord Chaitanya agreed to be worshipped. And devotees were coming, and he was giving them boons and benedictions, and everyone was in ecstasy. Called Haridas Thakur came and got benedictions. Kolavechar Sridhar came and got benedictions. So many devotees were coming, but he did not call for Mukunda. And Mukunda was feeling heartbroken. Why Mahaprabhu is not calling for me? I'm also one of his associates. Why? And then Mukunda sent the word to Mahaprabhu why he's not getting called. So devotees asked, Mahaprabhu, why don't you call Mukunda? And then Mahaprabhu said in a very angry voice that rascal, when he's with devotees, he speaks about devotion. When he's with impersonalists, he speaks about impersonalism. I never want to see him again. It was like a thunderbolt. The message went back to Mukunda. He was like, what? I'll never see the Lord again. He was so much in anxiety. And then he asked the devotees, ask the Lord, will I ever see him again? And then the message went to Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya, in such an angry mood, he said, tell him he will not see me until after 1,000,000 births. It was like a thunderbolt against his heart of the devotees. They were shocked. What will Mukunda say? Maybe he'll commit suicide when he hears this. So they went back to Mukunda and they said, Mukunda, we don't know how to tell you this, but Lord Chaitanya said, you will not see him for 1,000,000 births. And then Mukunda said, 1,000,000 births! I will see him again after only 1 million births. I will see. And he went into ecstasy and he's like rolling on the ground, so excited that after 1 million births he'll see Lord Chaitanya. So then they pass the message back to Lord Chaitanya that he's so excited that he'll see you in 1 million births. He's so happy. And then Lord Chaitanya just laughed and said, all right, tell him he can come now. So then Mukunda went and got the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and they were engaging in blissful kirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. So even if we take the worst case scenario, so to speak, that you raised, that you might have to wait 15 years. Oh, such a long time. That just be patient. It will happen. Krishna's bhava grahi janardanaha. He knows your heart. Just come in the temple, chant and dance in front of the deities. As we said, that's also deity worship. Oh, and whatever help you can do for deity worship, maybe they'll let you wash the plates, or I don't know what the standard is here, maybe you can distribute mahaprasadam. This is also service to the deity. Okay. Maybe you can pick some flowers. If you get permission, I see a sign, no picking flowers, but if you get permission to pick for Krishna, you can do it. Okay? Maybe you can make some garlands. Do you have to be second initiated to make garlands? No? Okay, there you go. You will see! Haribo! Haribo! Does that answer your question? You have some hope? Good? Thank you. Hare Krishna. Yes?
It's a bit related to the question. Thank you, Mataji. And as you explained that there are different ways to be engaged in devotional service or deity worship, mm-hmm. and devotees can be engaged in devotional in deity worship in different levels mm-hmm. and also in different stages in their spiritual journey. I wonder if the same can be applicable for the concept of initiation. There are many types of initiation, perhaps, or what that means to be initiated devotee.
What does it mean to be initiated? So there's different conceptions of initiation. Recently, I was in Mayapur, and we had a wonderful sangha called the SGGS, Sannyasi Guru GBC Sangha. So all the sannyasis, all the GBCs, and all the Diksha Gurus in ISKCON came together. And we had wonderful discussions in Sangha for 3-4 days. And one of the topics was initiation. And we discussed different conceptions of initiation. Jiva Goswami Jiva Goswami says in one book that second initiation is only important for wealthy grihasthas, so that they have something to do with their money, they can spend it on the deity. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada also had different perspectives on initiation. There's a first initiation, there's a second initiation. This is also new in our Gaudiya Vaishnava history. What is this first initiation, second initiation? Previously they were combined in one. So there are different conceptions of initiation and discussions are going on. But initiation by dictionary means beginning. So we get initiated, we begin. And then there's a concept of initiation means neck beads, new name. And we're the only ones, to my understanding, we're taking these vratas, 16 rounds. Many other groups, they don't take this vrata. They just chant, say chant. But we take a vrata. So there's many, many details. But of course, we're very comfortable because Srila Prabhupada clearly gave us a system of two initiations. We're following the system set by Srila Prabhupada, our founder, Acharya, which is first initiation, 16 rounds, four regulative principles, some conviction to engage in the mission of the spiritual master, and second initiation, Gayatri mantras. And those Gayatri mantras are required for deity worship on the altar. That's why the second initiation is important, because we use those Gayatri mantras when we're offering the different 16 upacharas. So here is, I've said a few words. I hope I didn't confuse you more than at the beginning. Would you like to ask me anything else for clarification?
Thank you for the answer, Maharaj. But also, I was thinking about the attitude of this devotee or the disciple who is initiated, or the devotee initiated, by accepting the authority or taking shelter of spiritual master. Even sometimes the formality of the initiation maybe doesn't take place, but the attitude of accepting the authority of a spiritual master makes him also eligible for being initiated devotee. As you said, initiation is more starting a process, authorized process.
Yeah, we see Srila Prabhupada met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in 1922 at number 1 Ultadanga Junction Road. And he received that message, that instruction on the first day. Now, you are an intelligent young man. You should preach this message of Krishna consciousness in the English language throughout the world like that. And then his actual date of initiation was in 1933 in Allahabad. That was when he formally got initiated. So that was an 11-year difference. But Srila Prabhupada said, I accepted him as my spiritual master on the first day. And he accepted him in his heart. So that's another aspect of initiation. It's the relationship between the guru and the disciple. It's a matter of the heart. One interesting thing is Krishna says in the fourth chapter, text 34, in this very famous verse, Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattva darshanaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching the spiritual masters. They will initiate you. They will give you knowledge because they have seen the truth. You just have to pari prashnena sevaya, ask them questions, inquire submissively, do seva. Then they'll give you knowledge, transcendental knowledge. So this word upadekshanti is there in the shloka, right? Tadvini pradipatena parish prashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam. So upadekshanti means they will initiate you. That's the word for word translation. So even Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, as we have it translated here, upadekshanti, diksha, upadekshanti, that they will give you diksha. And they will give you jnana, they will give you knowledge. So another very important aspect of diksha is a transference of spiritual knowledge. So that is also an essential aspect. That the guru must give knowledge to the disciple. So Krishna is advocating for a formal diksha ceremony in this verse. Upadekshanti te jnana. So yes, there's a lot to be said about the initiation in the heart. And there's also something to be said for the ritual. And by the ritual, we also take it more seriously. I want to make one more point. That when you get married in India, in the traditional, longer, 100 years ago, how long would the wedding last? 100 years ago, someone got married in India, how many days? How many days festival would it be? 7 days. Right? Why 7 days? They want it to be like an important ritual. And if you go through 7 days of marriage, it's very unlikely that you'll think you'll go for some divorce. right? Because it was such a big deal. In the same way, we have our initiation ceremonies. It's a big deal. We have a big fire sacrifice, which is also kind of we brought on board recently. It's not actually according to scripture. You don't need a fire sacrifice as far as I understand. You know, especially a huge one. We have big ones, you know, with like so many fruits and flowers and everything is decorated. It's like a marriage ceremony, right? It's a big deal. So having the initiation ceremony, that Diksha ceremony, that ritual is also helpful. It can be helpful because we understand it's a big deal that I'm formalizing my relationship with the spiritual master. I'm formalizing my relationship with Krishna. Does that shed some light on the topic? Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Okay, Prabhu wants to make last point. Can you send the microphone across? And then if anyone else wants to add anything else, I'm here for you. We'll let everyone go for prasadam and I'd be happy to meet with you.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
The acharyas place an analogy or simile to a gardener.
Garden.
How when we come in contact with the holy name, prasadam, so forth, it's purifying the heart, making it ready for the spiritual master to plant the seed within the heart. And then from the seed manifests the tree that provides the fruit. But first of all, we've got to cultivate the garden that comes from hearing and chanting. And then the spiritual master then plants the seed through initiation. But bhakti is the process of cleaning the weeds.
So bhakti, we pull out the weeds, we prepare the garden, spiritual master plants that bhakti lata beach, and then the flowers grow, and we get fruits, and when we have fruits, maha prasade govinde. Thank you so much for your kind attention, participation this morning. Grateful to all of you. Thank you so much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The single oil.